Greetings and welcome to the Dynamics of Colorism with your host, Dr. Donna Maria Culbreth. You may call in to share your experiences, colorism, to pose a question, or just to give a general comment. You may do so by dialing area code 914-338-1308. And now, to begin our show, here's Dr. Culbreth. Greetings and welcome to the Dynamics of Colorism for Thursday, January 31st, 2013. I'm your host, Dr. Donna Maria Culbreth, and we're coming to you live from Windsor Mill, Maryland, where the Dynamics of Colorism will be coming to you every Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Tonight, our topic is children, teens, and colorism, and our guest is Mr. Tory Richards, who's a licensed mental health counselor. Good evening, Mr. Richards. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you. How are you?
Great. Thank you for being available and for coming on the show. I'll give you a bit of Mr. Richards' background. He's a mental health counselor in the state of Florida. He earned his bachelor's degree in psychology from the University of Central Florida, and he earned his master's in counseling and psychology from Troy University. He's been working in the field of counseling and psychology for the past 7 years, and his experiences include working with people with addictions, psychological assessment, and diagnosis, and mental health counseling. For the past 5 years, he's been working with high-risk juveniles at inner-city high schools in the areas of anger management, substance abuse, self-esteem, family problems, conflict resolution, anxiety, and depression. It's very impressive, Mr. Richards.
Well, thank you very much.
Well, I'd like to start off, tonight, before we even get into our talking about the issues with children, teens, and colorism, what I wanted to note first, everyone, is that when children and teens are affected by colorism, whether they're a victim or a perpetrator, it can be detrimental. So tonight, Mr. Richards and I are going to explore colorism and how it affects teens. He'll be able to give us good information on self-esteem issues. And my biggest concern is that when we're seeing issues like this, especially in the Black community, we need to take a stand and try and help them overcome issues of this nature. Whether we're talking about a hair texture issue, skin color, the facial features, just the fact that you're disparately treating other children and teens, or the belief of that maybe someone else is better because they're lighter complexion and may have a softer hair texture, it's really not good for the overall health and well-being of a child or a teenager. And our goal tonight is to help educate and enlighten our listeners to how colorism is actually a major concern or an issue. And also, if you have any questions or if you would like to comment, you know, please feel free to call into our listener line, which is area code 914-338-1308. Okay, Mr. Richards, tell me, what are your thoughts about colorism within the Black community?
Well, it's unfortunate that colorism still exists in our community. It's a byproduct, of course, of slavery and Jim Crow times, and you would think in 2013 we wouldn't still have these issues, but unfortunately we do. And it's one of those issues that I don't think we talk about within the Black community. A lot of times maybe we were kind of embarrassed about it and we wish that it didn't exist, but at its core, I think it's kind of one of the main issues that causes low self-esteem in many of the teams that I work with, and also causes different issues, and even anger management issues and depression and anxiety issues.
Wow, that's interesting. How do they normally, do you see more of it with a light skin versus, is it like normally the lighter skin teens being affected, or darker skin? Or is it like maybe a combination?
Well, Yeah, it's probably a combination, but from my experience, it seems more of the darker-skinned teens feeling more persecuted, you know, either by the lighter-skinned teens or just by society in general. A lot of kids that I work with who seem to have issues with their skin tone or their skin complexion are the darker-skinned teens. I have actually this year I haven't worked with any of the lighter-skinned teens that did not, you know, like their skin color or felt like they were being persecuted because of their skin tone. So I think it is definitely the darker-skinned teens right now. I do know when I was growing up, it seemed to be the lighter-skinned teens who were having maybe a tougher time being bullied by the darker-skinned teens or teased by the darker-skinned teens. But it seems like now, in 2013, it's more of the darker-skinned teens having issues with their own skin tones.
Yeah, that is an issue I've actually noticed. Do you think maybe it's because, and I hate to always go back to this, but do you think it's because when they look at television or they see films that the light-skinned love interests are always, we'll put it this way, the love interests of black men, always light-skinned with European features, the long hair, or even like in the music videos, do you think that's what's really causing these issues to start to surface again?
I believe it's like, I know you've heard the term post-traumatic slave syndrome.
Right.
And I really believe that this is all a byproduct of that as well. It's the whole European standard of beauty that, you know, the lighter someone is, the more attractive they are. And media on television, on the cover of magazines, is always usually the lighter-skinned black women, and they seem to get lighter and lighter. And, of course, in the music videos, the female that all the rappers are chasing after, the ones that they're trying to capture, the sexy females are always the lighter-skinned females. I remember, you know, I actually stopped watching music videos because you can watch a music video and never see a dark-skinned female in the video unless she had a ridiculously big bottom.
Yeah.
You would watch a music video with these dark-skinned black males rapping, and all you would see is a bunch of really light-skinned females. And so I think that sends a message out to the darker-skinned females that they're not wanted, that they're not desirable, that they're not attractive.
Why do you think that they are doing this in the music videos? Because I find that so disturbing.
Yeah, I honestly believe that it's being brainwashed by the media and brainwashed by growing up in the European society from the time that they're little. You know, these guys have learned to reject their own skin color, reject their own females. And so when they make it big and they have the money, then it used to be a saying that kind of to put a stamp on your success, you would have to get a white woman to show that you've truly made it. But, you know, so I think that these guys, they don't find having a dark woman to be the standard of beauty because they've been told forever that a white woman or a close to white woman is more attractive and more desirable than a dark-skinned woman. And it's like they've been brainwashed, and they actually think that these are their thoughts. I've listened to some of the lyrics that these rappers are saying in some of the videos, and they are saying things that are really, really disturbing. Like this is one rap lyric with Lil Wayne. Lil Wayne says, beautiful black woman. That's a beautiful line, beautiful black woman. He could have left it there, but then he goes on to say, I bet she would look better red, meaning I bet she would look better if she was even lighter.
Oh,
no. This is a thing to a dark-skinned black woman who's listening to these lyrics.
Yeah, that would be detrimental because that's true. It would make me not even want to buy his music. And I'm always wondering, do they realize the impact that they're having on these young people with the videos and the lyrics and the songs? You know, do they really? I don't think they really understand the detrimental effects. I think they do know what they're doing, if that would be fair to say, but they just don't understand the effects of their actions. That's what I would say.
Exactly right. I don't think that they understand that a lot of things start with music and with music videos, you know, from trends of what type of shoes people want to wear, what type of clothing and hairstyles they want to wear. And so they're setting trends. They really are, you know, like a billboard out to the community. And when maybe they don't understand the responsibility that they have or maybe they, you know, I dare say it, maybe they don't even care, and that's unfortunate if they don't care. You know?
Yeah, it is, and it's sad because it's just when I, like, I haven't watched videos, my gosh, in so long. I think the last time I watched one was maybe in the 90s. And,
right.
And I remember before when one of my neighbor's daughter had asked me, Miss Donna, do you watch them? Like, no, I don't look at them. And then I had a conversation with her about, you know, do you actually see this? And she showed me one, and I couldn't even get through the first 3 minutes or 2 minutes of it. I was disgusted. And I was
right.
just saying, I said, no, I can't look at this. This is just, it's all white complexion. I didn't see not one brown skin, not even a medium to dark brown skin woman in any of the videos.
Right.
And you know, something else I've also noticed that and may affect teens is that when you look at television commercials, I've noticed, well, actually, let me make a specific example, is when there's a black family in the bulk of the television commercials, what I have noticed is things like for Kool-Aid or the Kraft macaroni and cheese. But I have yet to see, yes, and I may be wrong because I don't really look at TV a lot, but I started monitoring commercials for the past couple of months and because I wanted to see if there was a representation of dark complexion black women on commercials, and I couldn't find any. And then when
right.
I did find a brown skin woman, it was always heavy set, you know, somewhat unattractive black woman, and they were always doing commercials for cleaning supplies.
Yes, I see that too.
And you know, when I was one, I said to myself, okay, is this a message that they're sending out? And Dr. Kerr, who was on our show earlier, made a comment one day that it goes back to back in slavery times when they had, like, the mammy who wore the rag on her head, and she was this heavyset, unattractive, dark-skinned woman who,
right.
you know, represented, okay, well, she's a mammy, and there's no way our guys are going to look at her. But when I look now and I look at television commercials, and I see it's not, you know, as severe as it was, you know, years ago, but I would like to see a darker complexion woman on a Dove soap commercial or maybe a commercial for Bounty paper towel. Or I don't want to see when you do put a black family that we're in the commercials where it's something like Kool-Aid. That's just to me
right.
is like stereotypical. But when our young people, especially teens, are seeing this is how we are and are not represented in commercials for these products. Then they look at these music videos. I mean, I guess they're saying, you know, I mean, look at the stereotypes, how they're putting the stereotypes there. You know, lighter skin color go into music videos and all the sexy stuff and that long hair. And then on television commercials, if they are brown skin people, we're always like with the products that maybe they just have to depict us with, you know, darker brown skin people.
Right,
and I just
right.
It's disturbing.
Yeah, it is disturbing. I don't know if you remember the show My Wife and Kids. Do you remember that show?
Yes.
It's a black show. Yes. Do you remember the daughter Claire, they had two versions of her. The first version, she was a darker skin girl. And then when she switched out to a different Claire, and then she was a lighter skin Claire with, you know, curly hair.
No.
They switched girls. They switched
wow.
girls in the first season, and if you watch that show, the first Claire, the dark-skinned girl, she had the attitude. She was kind of the feisty one, but then when they switched to the lighter-skinned Claire, she was the pretty one, sexy one, the one that got all the boys' attention. And
wow.
not just that they switched characters, even switched personalities, and that was, I think, in my opinion, largely based on the difference of skin tone.
You're right. That is an excellent
yeah.
example, because Midge Wilson in the book The Color Complex Revived, they even make mention of situations like that. And, you know, I never noticed that, but now that I'm thinking back, I do remember the first girl I saw a couple times in the episodes, and I do remember the last girl was lighter complexion, you're right. And she was like the flirty little sexy one.
Exactly.
Oh, my.
Exactly.
You know what? You know, it doesn't dawn on you until... And but see, and that again, that sends like the negative view that darker complexion girls always have attitudes, that
right.
they act rough or they're, you know, not feminine, and then they bring the lighter complexion girl in who's supposed to represent being feminine and sexy and attractive with the curly hair, and I think it's a problem that the people who are producing these shows or writing the scripts, they don't understand. They
right.
don't understand right. the effects, because a darker complexion girl looking at television is going to think, okay, because that is a stereotype. Darker complexion girls have attitudes, or they're mean, or they're overly aggressive or nasty, and that's just not acceptable, especially in this time and age. But it's interesting that you made that point, because I bet, I'm willing to guarantee you, no one actually ever really zoned in on that.
And, yeah, and it was very interesting.
It is. It,
and not only that, you know, the lighter skinned girl, they even made her, you know, to be fair to that, they made her more ditzy, to be even dumber and klutzy. And so that also sends a message out to the lighter skinned females as well.
Mm-hmm. It does.
It's supposed to be pretty and dumb, you know, pretty and dumb,
mm-hmm.
pretty much is what it does.
Yeah, you're right. That's what it is saying. And they're like that airhead syndrome. And it's
right.
bad, because then with young girls who are, you know, because young girls go through that awkward age when they're teens and they're growing up, and they're sitting there and they're looking at all of this, and then it's, I guess it's confusing, it's disturbing, and I really believe it can, and it does affect their self-esteem.
Right.
You know, how they view themselves. And then the other issue is, I think at one time there was an episode, and I think it was on a Tyra Banks show, and this was in Russell Wilson, this was in the New Color Complex, where there was a mention on there of their parents who were on there who were bleaching their children's skin.
Right, right.
You know, and that just sends that wrong message, where you're saying to that child at a young age, you know, you're dark complexion, and that's not good, so we have to make you lighter. And
right,
then there was,
exactly.
You know, there was a comment on the internet a couple of months ago where they were saying that Denzel Washington had told his daughter, because she was dark-skinned, she was going to have to work harder, you know, in order to make it. And while that may be true, we should never have to say that to our children.
That's right.
We should
right.
be able to say to them, do your best, work hard, you know, go to school, get your education, you know, stay clean, stay away from the, you know, the negative situations and issues in life, and try and be the best that you can be. And I just think that if parents really put more focus on the self-esteem issues, I don't think it would be bad. But I also think in 1977, Bandura, he came up with this social learning theory. And he said that in his theory, he was basically saying that people, what children, they model behaviors and attitudes and emotional reactions to others. So if a child is looking at their parent and they're seeing how the parent is acting, that social behavior is learned because they're observing, you know, what they see,
right.
what they hear. And he also went on to say that it helps them learn, you know, what groups they wish to belong to, the groups that are most desirable. But what I found interesting is that when he, you know, he went on talking about all the issues about how the social learning is really an issue. And when I was thinking about it, I checked some more research, and I know it was a guy who wrote in his dissertation by the name of Banks, that a lot of the research has indicated that African-American children, or I guess you say families, they actually exclude associating with children and social activities that are based, you know, based on your skin tone. So in other words, he was saying that a very dark child or a lightest complexion child may be excluded or included, or they could be, you know, teased by their peers.
Right.
So if they're having activities and they're hanging out and they say they're outside playing, they actually treat children of different skin tones, you know, I call it disparately, because of the color of their skin.
Right, right.
You know, and that's, I found that to be an issue. Then I also noted that you made mention how some teachers actually look at children, and I'll say this in quotes, that children with thin noses, lighter skin, and straighter hair were perceived as the children to be, you'd have more potential, and they would do better than the darker complexion children who had those Afrocent features. And then the issue, when I was discussing this with one of my former students, and I wanted to get your opinion on this, her son, I think, is 10 or 11, and he's very, very dark complexion. And he, her husband has them writing stories and little essays each week. And the child wrote in his essay that anytime an issue pops up in the class, a behavior issue, the teacher is all instantly ready to give him a blue slip. And I guess it means go to the principal's office. However, and this is, these are his words, but when the mixed race child who came from a wealthy family displayed the same behavior, he was never given a blue slip. Wow. And I just see that instantly there is that skin color biasness right there. The teacher was white. And if a 10 or 11-year-old child could see that and understand that he was being targeted the bulk of the time because of his dark skin, already setting the stage for that kid.
Yes, it is.
Go ahead.
No, that's really unfortunate, you know, that because it does, like you said, that sets a stage for the darker skin kid to perceive himself and even perceive his lighter skin, you know, classmates and lighter skin peers as being different than he is. And I've seen, of course, dark skin teens and dark skin people treated and even punished differently than people who are lighter. And I think it's because the whole thought that lighter is better, that the closer you are to white, the better you're supposed to be. You know what I mean? The better, you know, you're
right.
supposed to act, the smarter you're supposed to be. And so in instances where a dark-skinned child and a light-skinned child may be doing the exact same thing, the punishment is likely to be different.
That's true. And it's, yeah, it's unfortunate. It really is. And it's interesting because I noted also that when children actually see that happening, you know, where they're rejecting or treating a darker complexion child differently and then turning around and embracing a lighter complexion child, no matter how bad or the behavior may be, they see that and they're going to imitate that because they're learning by example. So my question is, isn't it possible that now that darker-skinned boy, even though he understands what's happening, that he may now begin to start associating maybe darker complexion kids with being bad or the troublemakers or the problem children?
I think in that instance, because he's getting punished more, he's getting punished more severely, he's likely to start having the outlook that I am bad, I'm a bad child, and that children who look like me are bad children. So children who are the same dark, you know, skin complexion, he's automatically going to start viewing them as also bad children or also bad people.
That's what I thought. And then that light, that mixed race child is now going to have he's going to begin to believe that he's entitled to that preferential privilege treatment. And
right.
because of the fact that he maybe, and he didn't say the complexion, but I'm assuming he was lighter complexion, but mainly because he's lighter. And that mixed-race child is now going to go along with that belief that, you know, I have a right to, or I'm entitled, or I have a privilege because of the color of my skin. And I think situations like that could actually start a war between those two guys until they graduate from that elementary or that middle school. And if they stay in the same communities all through high school, that animosity is going to be built up there because of that teacher's actions.
Exactly. Well, what it could build is not, you know, just a hatred, but a distrust in other black people that have different skin tones than he has. It's going to be a distrust, which is, you know, detrimental to the black community as a whole.
That's true. That's right. Excellent point. And then, do you think that, I believe that maybe teachers should go through an extensive type of training in which, I guess, part of their professional development, where they actually train these teachers how to deal with this skin color biasness and colorism or color issues in the classroom, because I don't think they're aware, whether it's I don't think that they're aware of how their actions or behavior can really affect children. So
right.
I'm thinking, you know, are they giving them training? Is anyone looking at the fact that this child is being treated in a biased manner because he's dark, or could even be, you know, treating a kid biased in a biased manner because he's light. But they don't understand how this affects that child for the rest of his or her life growing up.
Right.
And, you know, I also noticed that when these issues do come up where children start this biased treatment or making distinctions based on that skin tone. You know, Banks noted this in his research, that that behavior could have been learned from, like, the example of the teacher, another child, or even at home.
Exactly.
There was an incident with a young lady who was with us on the show once, and she mentioned that a friend of hers told her daughter, this woman told her daughter, who was light complexion, that she is better than the other children because she's light complexion, and also told her that guys would always be after her because of the fact that she was light-skinned. And
right.
What that mother doesn't understand is that she just said to this child, you're better than a darker complexion child, and you'll always be privileged, you know, get preferential treatment, or you're going to be privileged, or you're going to be like the cream of the pot, and you know, in demand, mainly just because you're light-skinned. And
right.
I think,
of course, and I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, I think, unfortunately, it even comes from the mother's experiences and her being brainwashed, so to say. Then she projects that onto her child, which just continues the cycle. You know,
mm-hmm.
I've seen families where, excuse me, where they've had dark-skinned children and light-skinned children in the same family, different tones, and the lighter-skinned children were treated better. You know, the light-skinned children were actually kept in the house more so that they wouldn't get darker.
Yeah, that's
they were
right.
treated better, and the darker-skinned kids were, you know, treated rougher. They were always being punished, and they were kind of allowed to go outside and run the street and be, you know, and just kind of be left to raise themselves, sort of, while the lighter-skinned children kind of kept almost prized more.
That's right.
So,
that's right. You know, the point you just made was noted by a researcher named Hill in 2001, and you just made the same exact point. That's it's interesting you're on the same page with him with the research and his view, because I always wondered I don't know if you ever heard of this back in the day where you would hear grandparents, aunts, and uncles telling children, like, we know, don't go outside to get dark, stay out of the sun, or don't drink coffee, it's going to make you black. And all silly little things like that. And a lot of children, they actually believe that stuff. You know, and so their attitude is, I don't want to be black, I don't want to get dark. But my point is that they're already sending a negative message to the child, like there's something wrong with being dark.
Exactly.
And I
hear that message a lot, you know, parents telling their kids not to go outside because you're going to get dark, or even for kids, you know, has gotten darker because of summertime. I've heard parents say, oh, like, you've gotten dark, like wow, you've really gotten dark, as if it's a negative thing. So that projects, you know, ideas to that child that my skin is not attractive, and especially any darker than my skin is definitely not desirable.
Wow.
They start looking at people who are darker than they are and looking down upon them as if they're ugly, and that they're not, you know, of the same quality or the same intelligence as they are.
Well, that's true. What are your thoughts on, you have situations where families may have, like, lighter complexion children, and some of the other siblings may have come out dark. Some are light and some are dark. Bond and Cash had noted back in 1992 that the making a distinction or saying, you know, this is my light child, this is a dark child, it carries like a special significance, either whether it's favorable or unfavorable, that it's really an issue or concern because it does affect that child.
Right.
Children rather affected. So in a situation like that, where you have a parent who's actually saying, well, John is light and Mary's dark, and let's say she treats both of those children really great and she's not biased, but she always makes the reference to their skin color. Well, do you think that would have a traumatic effect on them as they get older?
I think so, because what she's doing is, you know, even though she may be treating both of the children great and equal, she's still separating them. You know what I mean?
That's
like,
right.
And they're siblings, they're brothers and sisters, but yet she's making a distinction between them, that this one is dark and this one is light. And no matter, they're both going to wonder, well, what does that mean that I'm darker and she's lighter? What does that mean for me? And then, you know, society will basically give them that definition. They will see darker-skinned people being treated than lighter-skinned people.
You know, and that's...
Family, of our African families where the parents will always call her light-skinned daughter pretty. This is my, you know, it's my pretty daughter. You're so pretty. Then the darker-skinned daughter, she would never call her pretty, you know.
Wow.
And that, she treated both of them, you know, great and equal, but she never called a dark-skinned child pretty. And that child is getting a message that she will carry with her for the rest of her life.
Yeah, that's true. And then it'll affect her. And then she could even grow to resent her sister as a result of that. And
right.
I just find it disturbing when the studies that I'm doing, I'm interviewing so many people. And one young lady told me where a family member of hers had a daughter who was light complexion before she was married. And then after she married a dark complexion man, and all of those children came out dark. And that this mother actually began to resent her lighter complexion daughter, and she had very long, nice braid of hair. And her mother even cut the hair off and really treated her terrible all of her life. It's like she was punishing her because she didn't look like her other children. And
Wow. And
when she was telling me the story, and I said, well, I would love for her to come on the show when we talk about families and colorism issues. And she said, the problem is that as of today, this girl actually believes, or felt rather, that her mother never loved her because of her skin color and how she punished her and always made comments about her not looking like the other children. So it's like the mother like actually did punish this child because she wasn't dark complexion. And I'm saying, you know, the ignorance and the stupidity of a parent to actually say to a child, you know, you're so dark or you're so light, and actually treat them differently in an obvious manner. They don't realize, you know, the buildup of all of that aggravation, stress, self-esteem issues going down to like zero. They don't seem to get the fact that that child has real emotions, and as they grow, and especially during those most important teen years, this can scar them for life.
Exactly.
So, I mean, yeah, I just...
It's scarred for life, and it developed multiple issues and the way that they deal with themselves and other people.
Yeah, that's true. Now, I wanted to ask you, when it comes to multiracial and biracial children, do you think that the biracial children, do you think that they deal with more issues involving colorism than a child who's just maybe a lighter complexion dark child? A lighter complexion, I'm sorry, black child?
Yeah, I think initially, maybe up until a certain age, they definitely deal with it more. I think they potentially are bullied more because, you know, everybody, they're usually lighter than most of their peers if they grew up in a black community, or if they go to a black school, if they ride a black school bus. So they could easily become the target of bullying because
wow.
They are different than everybody else. And then as they get older, I think, you know, middle school, high school, maybe the beginning of high school, they always face that question of people want to know, what are you? You know, what do you consider yourself as? Because they want to put you in a box. They want to feel comfortable addressing you and viewing you. So they want to know, what do you consider yourself as? And I've seen, you know, biracial kids, multiracial kids kind of feel like they had to prove their blackness so they would, you know, quote unquote, act, you know, more black, if you know whatever your definition of being black is.
Right.
In some communities, being black means being ghetto. So they would kind of be the rougher, tougher kids. I'm gonna prove I'm blacker than you type kid, or they will kind of shy away from everybody because they don't feel like they belong anywhere.
Yeah, you're right. I've actually seen biracial children do that. Take on that, you know, that I have to be. And they'd act so ghetto just to prove, like, hey, look, I'm black. See, accept me. And
right.
Yeah, I've seen that a lot, and it's been issues. But what I wanted to move on and talk about is back in 1949, Rodgers and Hammerstein, there was a song that was in the movie South Pacific, and it was called You've Got to Be Carefully Taught. And I'm just going to read, like, briefly the lyrics from it because I found this so interesting, and I always like to refer to it. Because in this song, they're actually telling, you know, if you sing it to a child, you're teaching that child to hate someone or treat them differently because of the color of their skin or their facial features. And these are the lyrics. It says, you've got to be taught to hate and fear. You've got to be taught from year to year. It's got to be drummed in your dear little ear. You've got to be carefully taught. You've got to be taught to be afraid of people whose eyes are oddly made and people whose skin is a different shade. You've got to be carefully taught. You've got to be taught before it's too late, before you are 6 or 7 or 8, to hate all the people your relatives hate. You've got to be carefully taught. And, you know, when I first, you know, when I was younger, when I first heard that, you know, it didn't sink in until as I got older and started doing research and looking at so many issues. And it's right there in the song where they're basically saying that a child has to be taught to hate and dislike people, you know, before what they're, I think he said they're what, 6, 7, or 8.
And, right.
You know, because of their skin color, or the way their eyes look, or because your family hates them. So if we have a parent, we have a father who's a racist, who doesn't like black people, and he's basically saying in the song that that child is going to pick up those same beliefs, the emotions, the reactions to black people, because his father doesn't like them. So they're basically saying it's okay to teach this. And I think that's what keeps that cycle of racism going.
Right.
Because of the social
right.
learning stage. And it's, I just, when with that song, I'm saying, wow, who in the world could have thought of writing a song like that? But considering the era that it was in the 40s, we understand why. But it's sad because even now in 2013, in the millennium, we still have, I believe, racist families who are teaching their children the same thing. Because it's, I watched the movie The Help, and that's one movie I always said I would never watch because I just didn't want to have to deal with the emotions of watching that movie. But on Sunday, this past Sunday, I was reading a book, and I happened to look up and was flicking the channels. I was like, oh, let me see what this is about. And what I found, what I noticed in there at one particular scene is I think when the, how did it actually go, the mates, I'm trying to remember, one of the maids made a comment, and she said that they loved their little children that they took care of so much their entire lives and took care of them until they grew up. And then they would grow up and turn around and act just like their parents and be racist.
Right.
And
right.
I was, that to me would be the most heartbreaking, gut-wrenching thing I think I could have to deal with. You practically raise this child and they grow up to hate you because of the color of your skin.
Right, and what they're being taught and what they've been put into their heads from the time that they're old enough to be, before they can understand, probably it's been put into their heads.
Right.
You know?
And that's just so, when we go back and we actually look at all the issues that I see that black Americans have had to deal with, for whether it's slavery, through Reconstruction, Jim Crow, civil rights, even through now, and even with the recent re-election of President Obama, I think America really showed how they really feel with this race, with the racism issues. I have never in my lifetime can I ever remember a president being so disrespected or treated in such a terrible, I call it, disparate manner. And it's because he's a black man. It's for no other reason. But we have children seeing adults do this and make these comments. So that social learning is taking place. They're going to imitate what they see. And I don't think that, and the president made a good comment, and I'll quote him, where he said that we've never fully addressed the complexities of race in this country. But at what point are we going to do that, if ever? Because
right.
I believe that until we do, we're going to continue to have problems, not only with racism, but within the black community and this colorism, these colorism issues. Because,
right.
You know, our children are going to keep seeing this. And when they look at television and they don't see people who look like them on television, or if they do look like them, they're always depicted in a derogatory manner.
Right.
You know, they don't see. And it's a point I made before, and I think one of my co-hosts or guests disagree with me, but with some of the movies that Tyler Perry shows on television, not the movies, there's a character on there, Mr. Brown, whose personality, behavior, intellectual, though, is just so alarming to me, because there are people out in society who may look at that show or just flicking a channel who've never really interacted or associated with black people, and they may think that's how we are or that's who we are and how we act.
Right.
And while it may be funny to some people, I'm highly offended by it, because
right.
his level of ignorance and stupidity is just, it's, I can't even find any humor in it. You know, I just, you know, I wanted to shake my head in pure disgust and say, ugh, this is like, that's not how I want to see Black Americans depicted on television. But I don't know if you remember years ago when the Cosby Show was on, and here you had a father who was, a gynecologist, the mother was an attorney. No matter what their children did, whether it was good behavior, bad behavior, they were taught a lesson. At the end of each show, somebody learned a lesson. Why can't they depict Black American families like the Cosby Show?
Very good. That's a good question.
You know, because, and then if you stop and think about it, I don't even know that many shows on the regular television networks, but we're always depicted as being, we have to be the clowns, and we have to keep people laughing, and we're never serious, and we're always joking around. And if we're not that, they take us to the other extreme, where we're angry, violent, out of control. The women are just highly sexed and can't control themselves, and the men are violent and angry. And our children see this. And if you notice, when there are movies or shows on TV and the behavior is kind of negative, it's always a dark complexion character portraying that role.
I agree. Even in some of Tyler Perry's earlier movies, not this plays, but some of his earlier movies, it seemed like he always had the girl would be with a darker skinned male who would treat her bad, who would be the abuser, who would be the user, who would be treating her bad, and then a lighter skinned Black male would come into the picture sort of to kind of save her and to rescue her and treat her better. That sends out a big image to not only Black girls, but also to Black men.
That's right. You're right. It does, especially in that one, The Diary of a Mad Black Woman. You're right. That's exactly how he depicted, you know, the darker-skinned man. And then, and also, that darker-skinned man had his new girlfriend was, like, very fair-skinned with a nice hair. I don't know if she was Hispanic or what. But
right.
He leaves a darker-skinned woman who's been with him and helped build him up and make him a success story. And once he makes it and he's arrived, he feels he has to go get a lighter complexion woman. So that, you know...
That's true. Right.
You know, it sends a loud message. Even in the movie, I think it was Waiting to Exhale, where you had the character who was divorced from her husband and had the little children. And once he made it and became successful, he left the Black woman who pushed him there and went to the white woman.
Right, right.
You know, the same thing in Jungle... I never saw Jungle Fever, but I read a... description of it. And Jungle Fever, I think he was an architect and he has an affair with a white secretary. I don't know what his Black wife did, but his wife was very fair complexion. And I remember seeing that one of the guys who I was talking to about this the other day, he said, this is a scene, you have to get the DVD, because the wife says to him in the scene, I think she said, what's the matter, I wasn't light enough for you? And again, it sends that message where to young people, here's a darker complexion man who has made it, who has arrived, he's successful, and the Black woman who's been with him to work, help him get where he's at, she's no longer good enough to be on his arm. So the status quo thing to do is to go get a white woman or a lighter complexion woman now. And that's,
right, right.
That's just so, and when our young people and our teens, between the music videos, you know, hearing comments or statements that they've learned or they hear their parents say about people's skin color, and then with films and TV shows like that, it's like any which way a darker complexion child would look, they see something negative in a sense associated with how they're being depicted.
Right. I totally agree with that.
You know, and it's just sad. And I just said this to a friend of mine last week. I said, I would like to see a show on regular network television that does not involve Black people being clowns, acting ignorant or ghetto. I don't want to see the Black woman portrayed as someone who's just highly sexed and can't control herself. I don't want to see a darker complexion girl with a nasty attitude. I don't want to see a dark complexion man being portrayed as a thug or rough or violent, and the light-skinned guy portrayed as, you know, the angelic type. Why can't we just have a decent shows on television depicting African-American people And like people like you and I or some of our listeners, they seem to think we only need to be depicted in a negative light or in some comedy show. And then some of the comedy skits, or the writing for some of the shows that used to be on with black people were so idiotic and ridiculous. You know, I would say to myself, I can't even think about trying to laugh. And I find all of that disturbing because our young children and our teens are watching this garbage. And, you know, when they're looking and they see this is how they're being portrayed, I mean, do you think that really affects them and how they perceive themselves?
Yeah, I think, like you said, it's all the social learning. You know, they've been bombarded with these images, and it gets into their subconscious to where, you know, the way they think and the way they act is not even basically their own thoughts. It's based off of what images have been put into their head. You know, if you see a lot of times, when you see African Americans on television, they are either acting a fool or they're going to jail. You know, it's very rarely that you actually see successful black people on television shows that are just like normal, regular people.
That's true, and that's bad. And I don't know, and I could say before, why doesn't anybody say or do anything about it? And then there are just some roles. Like, let me give you another example, too, how we depict black people in a negative manner. And I read this on the internet, and I really need to do more research to find out if it's accurate. But there was a article I read where they said with that movie The Django, if I'm pronouncing it correctly, that they'd actually made dolls of those characters. And they were selling the dolls, and then a lot of groups protested and said they were racist, so they stopped making them.
Right.
But how in the world are you going to see it, think that it's okay? Or not only that, why are we seeing movies like The Help, to Django, and I forgot what the other movie was someone told me about? We know what history is. And I think it's like subtle messages being sent to black Americans when you see why we don't need to see a movie about The Help. We need to see movies where you're showing black Americans in a positive light because we know our history.
Right.
And the movie like Django, with that movie, and I have never seen it, but you're selling dolls representing, showing the characters who were slaves. You know,
right.
As a black parent, I would have never purchased one of those dolls for a child, you know, if I had a young child. But when we see the way we're being depicted in the movies and the film, the horrible, nasty things that some children say to each other, mainly because someone is lighter or darker complexion, it takes me back to that Mimi, and I think the doll, Kenneth Clark and his wife Mimi, they did the doll experiment.
Right.
What were your thoughts on that test, on that experiment, rather?
Watching that, you know, and I watched it the first time, excuse me, it's very heartbreaking to see that, you know, to see the black kids, you know, picking out the darker doll as the dumb doll or the bad doll or the ugly doll. But then when asked, you know, which doll most resembles you, that's also the doll that they picked out. And they automatically assumed that the white doll was the nice doll, was the smart doll, was the good doll. So that kind of shows how from young, they already been brainwashed. These images have already been pushed into their heads, probably, you know, a little bit from the media, but largely probably just from, you know, even at home in their school settings at that young of an age.
Right.
And I've done that experiment with a young girl, one of my friend's daughters, just to see if today would still kind of hold up, and it was surprisingly the same results. And I did that example. I actually did a version of the doll test with some high school students, and it was the same results. And they didn't even realize what they were saying about themselves.
Mm-mm-mm. Unbelievable.
That's the scary part. That's just very scary that they don't even realize what they're saying about themselves. And they would turn around and say, I love myself. You know, I know I'm smart. I know I'm a good person. But when we just did the doll test, the doll that was the bad doll, the troublemaking doll, you were picking out the darker skinned doll the whole time.
Wow.
There's no way that correlates properly with the way you think about yourself.
Yeah, that's sad. That is really, really sad. You know me. Let me ask you, do you think that if in the history curriculums in school, do you think that if they really gave an honest view of Black history, and I'm talking about like the horrible things that Black Americans have had to endure, slavery up and through now, do you think that if that was included in a curriculum and children learning that, do you think that would stop all this negativity of how they see themselves or how they treat each other with the skin color biasness? Do you think that would stop them? Because they would then know, wow, we've been through so much. We were treated bad because of the color of our skin. We weren't even considered as being humans. They considered us savages or animals. They enslaved us. They, you know, mutilated, hung, whatever, everything that they've done. Do you think that would make a difference, or you think it's too late?
Part of me thinks that it's too late, you know. But I think maybe a curriculum that actually focused on, like, the Willie Lynch letter. I think sometimes that presented during, you know, African-American studies or during history class, but it's glossed over. It's never, you know, really read in detail. It's never broken down so that these students, you know, Black and white, can understand that a lot of the issues that's going on has been programmed into them from a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
So these issues you're having with darker-skinned people or lighter-skinned people, whatever, they're not your own ideas. They're not your own ideas. They've been ingrained, like they've been put into your brain and your parents' brain through, you know, slavery.
Right, you're right. And that
I
is
think
a...
help, yeah, I think helping them understand that will actually help them to, you know, erase some of this colorism stuff that we're experiencing.
Yeah, I think you're right. I had a conversation. I do mentoring with like teens and I guess you would call them maybe college level students, like freshman, sophomore level, some up to junior and senior level. And we just have like little talk groups sometimes, and we'll get together and go get something to eat, and we'll just have really great conversations to help, you know, if they're having issues in school. And one of the conversations that we were having when we were together the last time, I said to them, you know, what do you guys think about this colorism? And I gave them each a copy of the old version of A Color Complex to read. And do you know that after they read, if they did read it, they told me they did, and I quizzed them, so they kind of knew some of the stuff, but do you
right.
know that it didn't faze them? It did not sink in. And then I remembered, I was reading articles later on, and I was writing down some research notes, because of the fact that everything has happened, the reason why we have colorism existing today, it's always mentioned, but then it's glossed over. It'll say, well,
right.
colorism is a result of slavery, and because of slavery, the way the lighter complexions were treated. But no one talks about that, the fact that it's interracial colorism when it was done, you know, say from another group, say white person against Black. No one ever talks about the ugliness of that, or the origins, or the components of it, or why we have colorism existing in the community. And then I always like made reference to one of Malcolm X's speeches where he talked about who taught you to hate the texture of your hair and the color of your skin, and he goes on in that
exactly.
speech. And when I finally said it to them last weekend, and I read that portion of his speech to them, and I said, you guys really need to understand from, you know, history about people. It's not just about the Civil Rights Era, Malcolm X, Martin Luther King. We go deeper. And a lot of them did not know their history. They really could not. Like when I started telling them about how lighter complexions were given preferential treatment over dark in the Reconstruction era, Mr. Richards, they were looking at me as if I was speaking a foreign language to them.
Wow.
And they really didn't know because, and even if the school system isn't doing, I think every Black parent has an obligation to teach their children our true history so they understand that it's not this picture that you see. It's deeper than that. And I always had the view that I believed, rather, if they understood, I mean, really understood what we went through just to get the right to vote. And when I talk to young people, say, I'm not going to go vote. Why bother? I'm saying you don't know our history. And
right.
if you knew what we went through to arrive where we're at today, I think that some of you may stop this. And another example is like on the Twitter feed. There is so much silly nonsense on there with the young people and colorism.
Right.
And I have a young lady who's looking at it for me because I don't have the patience to do Twitter. And some of the things that she came at, like she was telling me that she was seeing like this light skin versus dark skin.
Right.
That's the stuff I'm saying to myself, okay, where is this coming from now? Because the generations who really experienced that, most of those great-great-grandparents have passed on, unless it's been, you know, ingrained into the parents. And even if
right.
it was, at some point in time, you would think that, you know, children today wouldn't be so caught up in it, but they are.
Yeah, I totally agree. You would think that children today wouldn't be as caught up in it. And I do go back to just the media and showing, you know, the lighter skin black female. If you're showing any black female, it's going to be the lighter skin black female. And I think that the darker skin female start seeing that there's a difference, that for some reason lighter skin females are treated better. I was speaking to a dark skin female student of mine last week, and she mentioned something about how light skinned girls are treated almost as good as white girls.
Wow.
To hear somebody in 2013 say that, you know, that's very shocking. And so these dark-skinned teens, maybe they're noticing that there's a difference. Because, you know, it's called the team dark-skinned, team light-skinned. I remember I first started seeing that stuff pop up, and I asked some of my students about that. And they kind of, you know, blew it off saying, well, it's not really anything. But the fact that you're mentioning it makes it something.
That's
and I
right.
I think it's the fact that some of the dark-skinned kids or the light-skinned kids realize that they are being treated differently. And in some areas, I'm sure that there are places where you are treated differently if you are darker than everybody else or if you're lighter than everybody else, and they realize that it is a difference. Society makes a different distinction between a dark-skinned black person and a light-skinned black person.
That's just really unbelievable. But how would you... How would you handle a teen or even a deal with a teen who is suffering from like the detrimental effects of colorism, where she's either dark complexion and she's been taunted, or she's light complexion? Like, what would you say to them to get them to understand that, you know, be you and love you? How would you get through to them?
Well, I would like for them to understand the systematic, basically, brainwashing that's going on in the black community from slavery to even make, you know, dark skin, light skin an issue. But I think it really comes down to embracing and loving yourself. A lot of the teens I work with who have issues when it comes to skin color, it really boils down to their having issues with loving themselves.
That's
and
right.
A lot of times the darker skinned girls who mentioned that they want to have a light skinned baby, and asked them, well, why do you want to have a light skinned baby? And one girl said that light skinned babies are pretty. So
what?
What does that say about you? Is that saying that you're ugly? Is that saying that dark skinned babies are ugly? And that's a subconscious thing. Maybe she's not even aware that she's saying I am ugly, but if she's thinking I am ugly, then that's going to affect the way she feels about herself and the way she acts.
That's true. You're right. It really is. I was going to bring that. I loved your article that you wrote on having a light skinned baby. I was shocked that she actually would have admitted it like that. But it's just like I told you with my neighbor, how that was her focus. And I'm saying, okay. And then in the Color Complex Revise, it just came out a few weeks ago. They made mention in there where there is some black girls who would not even date a darker complexion guy because they wanted to keep the gene pool, and I put that in quotes, end quote, light, or make it lighter, and they didn't want to have darker complexion children with hair that was difficult to, you know, to comb. And I'm saying,
right.
But it's your child, it's your flesh and your blood, it's your genes. You love them no matter what. And
right.
I just think that maybe, I think maybe if parents, like what can parents actually do to deal with this, the colorism issues with your children?
Yeah, I think first of all, the parents have to kind of check themselves to figure out, are they doing anything that's kind of helping to project this image? Sometimes, like you said, the whole social learning theory, parents don't realize what they're saying. Maybe a parent is treating a lighter skinned child different, or maybe they're telling their child, you know, don't, you know, stop going outside so much because you're getting darker, or as they're doing their hair, they're complaining about their nappy hair. And so all of these subliminal messages are getting inside of that child's head. So I think that parent needs to take an inventory to figure out, am I doing anything that's causing this to happen? And then they need to turn around and just embrace that child and, you know, help build up their self-esteem by showing them, you know, love and letting them know that they are attractive, that they are smart, that they can do whatever they want to do. And even more importantly is to live and to kind of model where they're trying to tell their child, you know, to watch the TV and there's a dark-skinned woman on television to discuss, you know, the colorism issue. If it's in your face, if it's something going on, it's in your face, then discuss it. And not, a lot of times we don't discuss it. And because we don't discuss it, our kids make their own assumptions about what's going on.
No, that's true. They actually do that. But what do you think that, say we're in 2013, what can professionals like you and I do, or just the black race in general do, to really help eradicate this interracial colorism, these issues within our own community? Like, what can we really do?
Yeah, well, I think definitely educating them on where colorism all started from, like you were saying earlier about education. I think that we're really educating them on the whole Willie Lynch letter and just how what's going on today is not, it didn't start with them. You know, it started way, you know, before they were ever even thought about. And building up a healthy self-esteem is the most important thing. Making kids learn to love who they are, no matter what their skin tone, if they're dark skin, if they're light skin, if they have nappy hair, if they have curly hair, to love who they are so that if somebody else says anything bad about you, it should not affect you because you love who you are. You're comfortable in your own skin. I was speaking with a young lady the other day, and her boyfriend had broken up with her and started dating another girl, and she was saying she couldn't even be mad at her boyfriend because the girl he was dating was pretty and light-skinned. So, like, it just kind of jumped out at me. I was like, okay, so she's pretty, but why did you mention she was light-skinned? And he said, well, because having a light-skinned girlfriend compared to her was an upgrade.
So,
upgrade, what is that saying about you? You know, she doesn't even understand how she's putting herself down.
That is sad.
That is so sad. 2013, that this is what's going on.
I think that maybe, I think like you said, through education, I'm hosting a community forum on February 9th here in Maryland, where I'm going to give a presentation, you know, to give like an overview of the origins of colorism, what it is, how we've struggled with it. And then I was going to take questions, you know, and just have a big community discussion out in the open, you know, and just talk about it. Let's talk about it. I think that if we start talking about it and getting it out there, and where people are sitting together and they can hear maybe a lighter complexion girl who has this belief of entitlement or preferential treatment or that she has a privilege, if she hears a darker complexion girl or even vice versa, where a dark complexion girl hears a lighter complexion girl talk about what she's lived and what she's going through, I think maybe then that'll start helping us move in the right direction because now we're talking about it. You are aware that your actions or your behavior, what they are and how they're affecting this other person, I think, I'm hoping that that'll actually start to make a difference.
Yeah, we definitely have to talk about it, and I think that's something that we don't talk about, and a lot of times we're embarrassed to bring it up, yet it's in our face every single day, and, you know, a lot of these teens, especially, they're dealing with it in one way or another every single day, but nobody's really talking about it. You know, so it becomes this thing where you're not going to say how you feel or what you think, but when you see a dark-skinned person or you see a light-skinned person, you already have these preconceived, you know, images of what they're going to be like and how they're going to act. You know, some of the light-skinned girls I've talked to say that darker-skinned girls apparently think that they're conceited and that they're stuck up and that they think they're all that.
Yeah, I've heard.
Yeah, you know, that's going to create an issue. You know, when you're trying to have friends of different skin tones, I mean, we're all black.
That's right.
So somebody has a different shade of brown, a different skin tone from you, are you automatically have these thoughts. And that's been put into your head from a long time ago. So now you don't trust this person that is a different skin tone of you.
And I it's just so unfortunate because they don't realize. And I'm saying, like you just said, we're black people. It doesn't matter what color skin or the texture of our hair or our facial features. And then the other issue, too, I meant to bring up is the skin bleaching.
Right.
They're light, you know, bleaching your skin to make it lighter. And there have been, you know, a couple of, I guess, articles I've read where this one African actress bleached her skin to be lighter. And I'll tell you something else I've noticed with, I forgot the show was on, too. Flicking through the last couple of weeks, the guy Wayne Brady, who's a host of some show on television, he used to be very, very dark-skinned. And when he appeared on a show a couple of weeks ago, his skin was much lighter.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I'm saying, my God, he's bleached.
The famous Sosa, apparently, he bleached his skin. I'm not sure. The actress knows that. If he's seen pictures of him before and pictures of him now, he definitely doesn't look the same skin tone.
I could not believe it was the same guy. And then I also looked at, I think her name is Kim Coles, and I may be wrong, but I remember when she was on Living Single, her skin was like a pretty brownish color. And then she was on the show last week, her skin, she was very, very, very fair. And I'm saying, okay, when our young people see this, and not only that, it's also this, they see actors and actresses doing this in Hollywood, then that sends a message, especially if they're into watching these people, they idolize them. I need to do that so I can be accepted too.
Right.
And that's just the wrong approach. And then, you know, on the other side of that, you have, other than just the skin bleaching thing, you have the issues where there are always the issues with the black women and the hair, the texture of the hair, how they wear their hair. And my attitude is, listen, hair is hair. And people have a right to eat it natural, or if they want a permit or relax it, it's their hair, and I think we make it too political, and that's the problem. And that's what causes issues, because we zone in on it too much and it's not necessary. And then my last point I wanted to make is that when you see these parties that they're holding, like the light skin party, or you go to this party and light skin people can get in free before 10 p.m.,
yeah,
and
that is, I cringe when I hear stuff like that.
Yeah, me too. It makes me sick. And then there is also an issue, and people get annoyed with me when I bring this up, but on the Tom Joyner Morning Show, they sometimes joke around about light skin and dark skin people. And last year, I think it was around Thanksgiving, where they were talking about how light skin people act on Thanksgiving and dark skin people act on Thanksgiving. And they have, when they go on their cruise each year, they have light skin versus dark skin competitions. And my point is that young people see this, they hear this. And if here's an adult who is well known and involved with HBC, historically black colleges and universities, if this person is, you know, behaving like this on the radio and they hear it, that sends a message that it's okay for them to do it. And I think that's also, again, it's like that social learning theory.
Yeah.
You know, they pick it up, they imitate it, they same reaction. And I think that a lot of adults also really need to look at themselves and see the things that they're saying, their behavior, comments and actions. Young, you know, that social learning, they're always, you know, just they absorb what they're around, their environments, and it sends a negative message out. So I think there are a lot of issues that we have to deal with colorism, especially making sure that we correct the behavior with our children, especially with teens. But I just think that we have so much work that needs to be done, and that's why I believe it's important for everyone to get involved and start talking about it.
Yes, I agree. I think sometimes in those events, like with the cruise and the light skin parties or whatever is going on, sometimes people think that it's kind of innocent, harmless fun, it's entertainment,
right.
It's just kind of whatever. but they don't realize that they're reinforcing the stereotypes and reinforcing the issues that we're dealing with. And instead of us moving forward, they're keeping us stuck or even moving backwards, you know?
You're right. That's an excellent point. You're right. And you're right. I do agree. I think it's all in fun, but they just don't understand the impact and what it's doing. But I want to thank you, Mr. Richards. This has been an excellent, excellent show. I've enjoyed this conversation.
That's all. I really appreciate it.
And if any of our listeners want to reach you, how can they get, they can reach you through your blog, am I correct?
Yes, it's licensed mental health counselor.wordpress.com.
Okay, great. I wanted
all
to thank
one word.
You. Oh, that's right, all one word. Okay, great. And what I'll do also, I'll put up on our WordPress blog for the Culverson Project in case anyone didn't get it. They can contact you. It has been wonderful, and I do look forward to you coming on our show again with us to discuss topics and issues on colorism. And I want
to look forward to that.
Yes, I want to thank you for your time, and I look forward to working with you.
You're welcome. Thank you so much.
Have a great night.
You too. Bye-bye.
Okay, good night. Okay, everyone, it was Mr. Tory Richards, our licensed mental health counselor in the state of Florida. And I'll put his complete address. It's licensed mental health counselor on WordPress if you'd like to contact him and ask him any questions. I would like to thank all of you for listening tonight and also give you an update and a reminder that on Saturday, which is the Saturday after next, February 9th, the Interracial Colorism Project will be hosting Out in the Open. It's a presentation and community discussion on colorism issues within our Black community. And it's going to be held at the Randallstown Community Center or Resource Center. And the address is 3505 Resource Drive in Randallstown, Maryland, 21133. If you need further information about it, please check out my website, colorismproject.com. And I would like to thank all of you for tuning in tonight and look forward to you tuning in next Thursday when our guest will be Dr. Ronald E. Hall. And he is one of the co-authors of The Color Complex and also the author of The Bleaching Syndrome. He also operates the Color Clinic. So we look forward to you tuning in next week. Have a great week, and looking forward to next week. Good night, everyone. Thank you for tuning in to The Dynamics of Colorism with your host, Dr. Donna Maria Culbreth. You may contact Dr. Culbreth at 1-800-905-2136. You may email your questions to drculbreth. @colorismproject.com. We're looking forward to you tuning in next Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Until then, remember, dare to be different and dream in color. This is Dr. Culbreth, signing off for the Dynamics of Colorism. Good night, everyone.